Come on, can we bless Jesus in his place today? You guys excited to be in God's house? You feeling good? Are you high yet from all the dust that we've been doing? That's the Holy Spirit. You're not high, okay? I don't know. I'm not going to speak that thing out, but I feel like a little, whoo. And I don't know. I didn't take anything. I'm not like a, you know, I'm not on meds. My wife can vouch for that. But yeah, I feel it, and I believe Jesus is in the house. He's doing work. It's all about Jesus here at New Life. It always was, it always will be about Jesus. I love this cross equals love sign. I think today what we should do is we should just take the whole service. We should have Brooks play some real emotional, and we just look at that sign and just absorb it. Cross equals love. Amen? Yeah. I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. Anyways, the Bible says, greet each other with a holy kiss. So go ahead and start. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. We don't want the divorce rate to go up. Anyways, God has promoted me. I've been upgraded. I don't preach once a year, but two times. This is up to two times a year. It's so funny. It was not planned. We just kind of got caught wind of it this week. And I said, you know what? Pastor Alex has been working his butt off. And all the volunteers have been working their butt off, but he's been kind of leading the charge, so I want to give props to him. All that remodeling, trust me, I was in here, at least I stopped by and helped a little every day this week, and I just saw the progress, and he's been kind of holding the charge and pushing it and just corralling it. So can we give him some love? Because this is happening. It's happening. And you know what? It's so fitting that we're doing remodeling and construction because today we're going to start a new construction series. It's called Life Under Construction. Amen? Now, I'm going to rebel against that. I love to name, every time I speak, I love to name my sermons. You know, so if there is a name, when we fought about this in a creative meeting, I said, let's call it a work in progress. Come on, that sounds so good. But you know what I'm talking about. A work in progress. Y'all heard that expression before, right? I don't have it all together yet, but you know what? It's a work in progress. So I'm driving this work in progress thing, and then I got shut down. So I just figured, you know what, since I'm up here, they can't stop me. I mean, they're not going to take the mic from me. So today's message is going to be called a work in progress. So if you want to jot that down, if the three of you are going to take notes, that's okay. I love this video, and that's exactly the verse we're going to be talking about. So if we could put that up, guys, on that screen, that verse, it's in Isaiah chapter 64. It's verse 8. So I know, like, Bible carrying isn't cool nowadays. Everyone's got their Bibles on their phones, which is super cool. You can go ahead and flow. We're going to put that verse up, and we're going to read that together. And before we get into the Word, I just want to remind you guys that we're going to have a baby dedication today. Okay? We didn't forget. We didn't forget, but we're going to push it back towards the end. So I promise I will not be too long. Okay? So are you there in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8? Who's there? All right. All right. So let's read this. But now, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. So the Bible uses metaphors a lot. Last time I shared the word with you, we were a church full of trees. The Bible likens us to trees. So we're talking about clay today. How many of you had experience with clay, potting clay? Anybody? All right, wow. This is nice. The majority of you had some sort of experience with clay. I have little experience. In high school, we did some clay work, but I read the internet, and everything on the internet is true. So I know everything about clay that there is to know, right? Kidding. That was a joke. Some of y'all think, man, this guy is the blind leading the blind over here. It's not true, but Google gives you videos, and just like you saw in that video, the potter just got that lump of clay, boom. So you are that lump of clay. Or I should say, we are a lump of clay. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a lump of clay. Hopefully they don't get offended at you and still like you before the service is over. That's the goal. But the Bible uses lots of metaphors. And so if we are the clay, God is the potter. David says in Psalms, God has a plan for us, okay? So if you need a word of encouragement, if you need a little pick-me-up, I do want you to know that if you are in Jesus, you are the clay, he is the potter. David says in Psalms, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God don't make ugly. Preaching today, God does not make ugly, God does not make a mess. God does not make something that you don't even know what it is. God makes marvelous things, and you are marvelous. So if you feel like you have a bad hair today, if you've got up on the wrong side of the bed, everyone's touching their head now. All you self-conscious of your hair, you are wonderfully, fearfully, and wonderfully made. That's the word of God. So I just want to encourage you with that today. Because some people need it. So basically, he is the potter, we are the clay. So you saw what happens is the potter gets a lump of clay, throws it down on a spinning wheel, and starts spinning that sucker. Okay? And as the clay and the wheel spins, the potter will mold the clay and shape it into whatever he desires. Okay? So this is spiritual, metaphorically speaking. He's going to spin that sucker and keep molding it and keep shaping it and keep working that thing to get it to where he or she likes it. And if they do not like the product, do not like the outcome, what do? Scrunch it up. You just go, boom, start over. Sometimes in life, we need to start over. Sometimes in life, we get to start over. Sometimes in life, God allows us and God calls us to start over. He's working you. He's working you. He's doing his work in you. And he's like, you know what? I don't like this. Crumpled it up. Boom. There you go again. And he starts working and he's continuing the work in you. And you know what? As long as we know who is working on you, you got no worries. You got nothing to worry about. As long as you know the maker, as long as you know the potter and who is working on you and in you, you can be rest assured in Jesus. So God knows exactly what you're going to look like. The Bible says, in Jeremiah, I'm going to read this, I jotted this down, in Jeremiah 1:5, you don't have to turn there, but it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nation. So God doesn't just start shaping. God has a plan for you. God knows what he wants you to be like. God knows what he wants you to look like. God knows what he wants you to say, act, and do. God knows how he wants you to love. God knows how he wants you to live because he's got a plan for you. Do you want what God wants or do you want what you want? I want what I want, but do I want what God wants? Sometimes what I want and what God wants are two separate things. Life gets tricky. Life gets hard. Life sucks. But what I want is the same thing that what God wants. There's a flow to life. There's a flow. There's a flow. There's an ease to life. Things are just falling in place. And you know what that's called? That's called being in the will of God. Yeah. I jotted this down. Be confident knowing that what God builds cannot be broken. Jesus said that. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So if God is working on you and in you and you are in him, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. They cannot. That's Jesus. That's not something that I made up, but Jesus said that. Now, one thing about clay is it must have the right mixture of water and mud, okay? If you all worked with clay before, you know that. If it's too dry, you can't work with that thing. Mm-hmm. That, we're talking now. If it's too dry, you cannot work with that thing. Have you ever tried to mold a dry, hard, rocky clay? It don't work too good. It scratches your hands up. What do you need? Water. Now, I do believe that Jesus is the living water. If it's too wet, if clay is too wet, it cannot hold its form. It cannot hold its shape. So what's the spiritual applications to this? Some of us, we're just too dry. Have you ever felt dry? Have you ever felt so dry and so hard? I believe that God is talking about our hearts. Have you ever felt your heart be so hardened that you cannot receive the love of Christ? You can't receive joy. You cannot receive peace. Your heart is just hard. You know why? We're missing the word. We're missing Jesus. Jesus is the living water. And he said, if you drink of my water, you will never thirst again. So God, the potter who shapes us, he wants us to be just perfect so he can work with us. We got to give him something to work with, right? Now let's talk about being too wet. Too wet is watered down, okay? If you're too wet, if clay is too wet, it cannot hold its shape or mold. This world likes to water down Christians. This world waters down the Word of God. This world waters down Christianity. It makes it so lame and so not cool to be at church on Sunday, jumping around and praising him and hopping, looking a little goofy sometimes. But this world waters it down. And so if all you're getting is watered down, if your relationships in your life are being watered down, if your business in your life is being watered down, you're not going to stand. You cannot have any form if you're just being all melting away. So we got to have the perfect mix. We got to have the bread, the word of Christ, and we got to have the living water. Tell your neighbor, say, give them something to work with. Come on. Now, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. You guys can put that up if you'd like. It's real short. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9 says, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Yes and no. But guys, okay, we're talking about the no part for now. We'll get to the yes in a bit. Does the clay ever say to the potter, what are you making? Have your kids ever told you, those of you who have kids, mom, dad, what are you doing to me? Have they? Mine have. But the reality is, sometimes the clay does say to the potter, what are you making? But here's the problem. This is a danger zone. I jotted this down. I wrote this and called it the danger zone. When we care way too much about what we want to be instead of what God wants us to be, we're in a danger zone. We as the clay, he as the potter. When we care way too much about how we want to look like instead of what God wants us to look like, we're in a danger zone. If we care way too much about what we want to give instead of what God wants us to give, we're in a danger zone. If we care way too much about how we want to love instead of how God wants us to love, we're in the danger zone. See, we are the clay. He is the potter. We don't tell him what to do. He carries out his will on us and in us according to his good pleasure. So God is pleased to work on us and in us. Did you know that today? God is pleased to work in you. He is pleased to work on you. It pleases him because you give him something to work with. See, it's all about the maker. It's all about the creator. It always has been. It's all about, and it's always going to be about the maker. Who cares what the outside wants me to be like? Who cares what the world wants me to be like and look like? What does the word want you to look like? Who cares about the world? The world has plans for you. The world wants to shape you. The world, in fact, the world is shaping you. What does the word say? Forget the world. What does the word say about you? Guys, the reality is what we hear shapes us. Amen? The Bible even talks about faith comes through. So what we hear shapes us. It has a part in making us who we are today at the core of ourselves. What we hear shapes us. What we see, it shapes us. The things we look at, they shape us. What we feel shape us. What we eat shapes us. I'm going to be careful. Someone said, be nice. Thank you for that. Don't shout me down now. That's the easiest, most practical example. But you know what? What we eat shapes us, guys. Sometimes, man, them brownies, I have a weak spot for brownies. They shape me in more ways than others. But we got to be careful what we're letting in. Amen? So back to that verse, Isaiah 45, 9. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? The answer is yes. How many times have you told God when you felt like something's moving in your life, when you felt like something's changing in your life, when you felt like some shifting is going in your life? That's God working on you. And during those times, be honest now, you don't even have to raise your hand. How many times have you said, God, what are you doing? Isn't that the truth? How many times have you questioned God, the potter? How many times have you, as the clay, said, what are you making, Lord? What is this in my life? I don't make any sense of it. Everybody questions God. At one point or another, it's just the natural thing to do. We question God. Especially if we feel uncomfortable. See, it's not comfortable to be shaped and molded. It kind of sucks. Frankly, it just sucks. As long as we know who's working on us, we're okay. And Romans, the great 8:28, Romans says that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So as long as you know who's shaping you, as long as you know who is molding you, you're going to be all right. That's the word of God today. We must always be willing to let God work on us and work in us. One of the most dangerous things we can tell God is, I don't need change, Lord. I'm good just the way I am. I know that from my personal experiences. One of the worst things you can tell God is, Lord, I'm fine. And you know what we do when we tell God? We're telling the potter, we as the clay are telling the potter, say, potter, get your hands off of me. What a foolish thing to do, to tell God to get his hands off of you. You do not want God to get his hands off of you because you will fail. And God does not want you to fail. God says he knows the plans he has for you, plans for you to prosper. So we got to be very mindful, very weary of those trials, those tribulations, those temptations when it feels like something is just molding, something's shifting in my life, something is just shaping. That's God working in you. I just want to encourage you to hold on, endure, don't give up. Don't tell God, say, God, I can't take it anymore. What if Jesus on the cross said, Lord, I can't take it anymore, and he got off the cross? God was shaping him for eternity. God wanted to carry out the work through him so that you could be here standing today. Jesus had to go through what he went through so you could be here today. What if he stopped? Thank God that he didn't give up. Thank God he didn't stop. Being shaped, being molded sucks. Eli, our resident philosopher, he's suffering for Jesus somewhere on an island somewhere, I don't know. But Eli once said that pain is hard. Tell your neighbor, say, pain is hard. Oh, Jesus. I told him I'd never bring that up, but I did. And he's not here to see it. Anyways, pain sucks. Pain just, it's hard. I want you to do something right now. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, you need to change. Point at him or her, tell him, say, you need to change. Somebody tell my wife, you need to change. She's sitting all alone over there. Aren't you pissed off at your neighbor? If you told him with a smile, said, you need to change, that's not going to work. You got to tell him, you need to change. Don't you hate that? When somebody tells you to change, it sucks because you don't want to change. Change hurts. But you know what? Change is growth. We don't like to change. We like to naturally be complacent. We don't want, as a tree, we don't want to be pruned. And Lord knows there's branches and leaves that are dried and withered on us that God is pruning and working. But change, you don't like to be told that you need to change. See, growing up, here's the thing. Growing up, I had a big problem with anger, okay? No way. Yes way. Thank you for that. See, I feel like I'm better now. But those of you that knew me, they can vouch. I had a big problem with anger. You know, like, you're growing up. You know, anger is a sign of control. I had a control problem. Because when you're angry, it means you're not controlling the situation. Then you get mad, okay? So that was a weakness. Now, I was, you know, you grow up. You know, when you're young, that puberty thing kicks in and, you know, all that really silly stuff. But I had a problem with anger. I was just, you know, you're just finding yourself, figuring out who you want to be in life. Are you a boy? Are you a girl? You know, speaking of that, I just want to say this. Thank God I did not have that question didn't burden me. I knew who I was. And I heard a preacher once say, because it's an issue, guys. Let's be honest. I'm just going to be, I don't want to be offensive, so I offend you. I'm sorry. I apologize if I offend you, but it's an issue nowadays. Like, it's a struggle, man. The struggle is real. But listen, I heard a preacher once say that it ain't that hard. If you're not sure of who you are, just look down. Am I going to get called into the office for this or no? But that's, call me old school, and I don't mean to be offensive, but that's just, you know, just look down if you're not sure. That's it. Anyways, so I had a big anger problem, and people told me, Andre, you have an anger problem. Well, I just get pissed off at him, and I want to punch him in the face because they told me I have an anger problem. No, I don't have an anger problem. You have an issue problem. You have issues with me, okay? So you need to get out of my way, all right? Amen? All the angry people said. You know, you can tell who's really angry during our demolition on Sunday. You can tell who's got anger issues. We had sledgehammers. I brought an axe, my axe from work. And I was going off. My wife wasn't here, so I was just going off on that wall. Oh, Lord. But thank God, thank Jesus Almighty that he worked on me. I gave my life to Jesus. I got saved about 15, 16 or so. And God started it, before you know, he started to work that anger out of me. But that took molding. That took shaping. You see, before I was saved, before I recognized, before I admitted that I was just merely clay and he was the potter, I couldn't change. I couldn't be shaped. I didn't give God anything to work with. I was too hard. Physically, I was always just mad. I'm an engine that runs hot, you can say. Okay? But God, thank be to Jesus, he worked on me, and I feel like I'm a little better about that. And then I got married. I'm kidding. It came back. That devil came back. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true. You know, any of you been in a relationship, sometimes you just get mad at somebody. You just want to do something. Doesn't matter. Whether it be your wife or your husband, they just set you off. But it's okay. Give us patience, Jesus. Okay, let's get serious now. Okay, I found this. I'm going to drop a bombshell on you right now, okay? This is like a nugget bombshell. And I find this to be so, so true in my life, personally and just from looking, just going up into ministry, just serving Jesus most of my young manhood. I find this to be true in my life. I wrote this statement down. The more we allow God to work in us and on us, the more he can work through us. You didn't hear me. The more we allow God to work in us and on us, the more he can work through us. Isn't that the truth? The more we submit to Jesus, the more we submit and surrender to him, the more he has to work with. If you want to change the world, if you feel like you're called, if you feel like God Almighty has called you to change the world, change your heart first. Drop the mic. One day it'll happen. Pastor Alex, you got it. It's on you, man. We're going to have a drop the mic moment one day. I believe it in Jesus' name. We need a pad or something because we don't want that thump. The media team is going to go crazy back there. Guys, I have a real sweet verse that I think fits perfectly. You know what? Before we get to that, let's backtrack one second. One thing about clay is we've established that being worked on sucks. It's hard. Being molded is just not comfortable. But one thing about clay is if the potter, during any period of molding and shaping the clay, if the potter takes his hands off the clay for an extended period of time, what happens to the clay? Not the answer I was looking for. It hardens up. Think of it spiritually now. If you take it, if you can't handle it anymore because you're hurt, because you're uncomfortable, because God is molding in you, he's doing a work in you, he's shaping you, and you're not really sure of where your life is going, and if you just want to give up and quit and say, God, take your hands off of me, he can, because God will not do anything to force you, okay? He works at your command. He works at your faith. Your faith is your way of telling God what to do. So if when times get rough, when times get hard, you tell God, take your hands off me, I don't need you anymore, he will, but what's going to happen to you as the clay? You're going to harden up, or you're going to dry up. And one thing about clay is, it's so much harder to work with once it's dried up and it starts to harden up. It's so much harder to resume. So the spiritual implication is when God is working at you, don't give up. Because if you tell him to stop, it's going to be much harder and much more painful for you for God to put his hands back on you and continue to work on you, whether it would have been if you would have just said, God, you know what? Finish your work that you're doing in me. I don't know what's going on, but I trust you, God. You have your hands in my life. I trust you, Lord. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is that verse that I think fits so perfectly with this topic, a work in progress. So Philippians 1, 6. It says, I'm going to skip ahead. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I got news for you. So he who started a good work in you, because God makes good work. He don't make bad work. He makes good work. He who started that work will complete it when? When Jesus comes. Hopefully we'll be done with remodeling before Jesus comes in this church. So, you know, I hate to break it to some of y'all, but if you think that God is going to stop working on you at one point, you're wrong. Because if you love Jesus, if you are in Christ, he's going to work on you, according to the Bible, it says when Jesus comes. That's what the Bible says, you have to work out your salvation. So it's going to be a process, but as long as you know who is your maker, as long as you know who's molding you, as long as you know who is shaping you, you got nothing to be afraid of. Because you are at his mercy, you are at his hands. Your life is at his hands. Amen. Amen. Good things take time. How many of you know that? Good things take time to build. See, when we came in here and we did the demolition on Sunday, what, Pastor Alex, we done in what? It took an hour and a half to break everything down or so. And we've been working on putting them walls up and doing that all week. In life, good things take time. It takes time to build good things. It takes time to build good relationships. It takes time to build a good career. It takes time to build a good business. How many of you all business people know that? I am learning this as a young businessman. It takes time, but it could be lost in just at the snap of a finger, right? It could be demolished. God is, listen to this, God is always working on you. If you let him, He is always working on you. And what he is doing on you, what he's building on you, it might take a little time. And that's okay. But we got to be careful, because what he's doing in us, we can lose it in the second, in the blink of an eye. What God is working, what God is building, what God is establishing you, if we're foolish, if we stray away from the gospel, if we get away from the word, if we say, God, take your hands off, we can just crumble in the blink of an eye. And all that work was for nothing. How many of you know, how many of you have a relationship that it took so much time to build, and you got to this, you know, you got to this really good, smooth, working relationship? Maybe it was a personal relationship. Maybe it was a business relationship. And then something just happened one day, and everything went to crumbles. It's like somebody took an axe and just went, dish, 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 dish. How many of you had something in your life where God was building in your life at one point? It took time. He's working on you. He's working on you. He's building. He's building. He's shaping. He's molding. He's planning. And then you decided to just say, you know what, God, I don't need you. And it broke. Did you build it back up again fast, or did it take time? It takes so much time, and it's so much harder the second time around. So we got to be careful that what God has entrusted us is big. God has entrusted us with the kingdom. Let's be good stewards of the kingdom. Let's not be foolish and just throw it all away for that 1 second of gratification. You know, for that one night of fun. Well, I don't know. Let's not be foolish. Brooks, you can play something real emotional. Thank you. So in reading Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, knowing that it says, being confident that he who began a good work will carry it out into completion until Jesus returns. When times get tough, because remember, it's a lifelong process. God is working, God is molding on you. It's going to take a lifetime. But when times get tough, do we want to jump off the spinning wheel? When it gets hard, when your life gets just tough. You know, life gets hard sometimes. Everybody, I don't care if you're the pastor or you know, everybody has a tough life. Sometimes life gets tough. Do you want to jump off the spinning wheel, or do you stay on by God's mercy and by God's grace? I want to encourage you as we finish. You know, sometimes life can seem like we're remodeling, in the process of remodeling. The cleaners did a good job yesterday, but I was in here during this week. It was messed up. It was like a tornado went through the church. I said, Lord, are we going to make it till Sunday? And you know something funny about remodeling? Those of you who've done remodeling, isn't it so true that when you remodel, it seems like almost every time you find problems that you didn't even know you had. When you tear stuff up, you find problems you didn't even know you had. Sometimes God is working on you, and you let him, but you're going to find things that you didn't even know you needed work on. As long as you know who's doing a work on you and in you, you're going to be okay. As long as you know whose hands are on you, you're okay. As long as you know who's creating you, you as the creation are going to be just fine. So if your life seems like the studs are exposed, if there's holes everywhere, if your life seems like it's just so dirty and there's wires and it's uncomfortable and it's not pretty and it's dusty and it even smells weird, just know that Jesus, the master builder, has a plan for you and he is working in you. As long as you let him continue to work on you, you're just where he wants you to be. I know right now I'm just where God wants me to be. But I know God wants more and bigger things that he has planned for me. So I want to continue to God take me from where I am to where he wants me to be and not where I want to be. Maybe you don't have it all together yet. You know, maybe you don't, as they say, you don't have all your ducks in a row. That's okay. As long as you know Jesus, as long as you know that he is molding you and shaping you to what he wants you to be instead of what you want you to be, you're a work in progress, but you'll be okay. Maybe some of you are looking for healing today. You may not be healed yet, but as long as you know the healer, you're okay. You may not be able to love somebody today, but as long as you know the greatest love of all, you're going to be okay, and his name is Jesus. You may not be perfect, but as long as you know who is the perfect one, you're going to be okay. And I want to give you guys an opportunity, if we can have the lights down right now. Maybe through this message, this word, God was working on your heart. That's God shaping you. That's God molding you. You felt uncomfortable. You felt kind of a struggle. You felt like a little bit of a shift going on. That's God speaking to you. And he wants your life in his hands. The world wants your life too, but Jesus wants your life more. In fact, he wants your life so much that he died for you on the cross. He didn't have to. No one made him. The greatest love of all. Cross equals love. That's Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. He died on the cross for you so you can be born again. Maybe you don't have your life perfect. Maybe you don't have it all figured out today, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to start a new life today in Jesus. So what we're going to do is, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't want to do that. We're just going to close our eyes right now and bow our heads. And if there's anybody, I'm going to count to three. You can just raise your hands. If you want to commit your life to Jesus, you can raise your hands. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, if you felt like you said at one point in your life, God, take your hands off of me, I can't take it anymore, you can raise your hand right now and start a new life with him. And you know what we're going to do? We're not going to condemn you. We're going to celebrate with you today. In fact, all of heaven's going to rejoice with you today. It says the angels rejoice when you come to Jesus. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you want to start a new life, if you want to get that burden off of your shoulders and start again, I want to ask you to raise your hands on the count of three. One, two, three. Is there anybody hands? I see one, two, three, four. Come on. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, let's rejoice today. Come on. I want everybody to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Let's pray together and say, Jesus, thank you for coming into my life today. I ask you to forgive my sins. Make me new. Make me whole again. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you rose again on the third day. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. My life starts over today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, lift up a shout of praise today. Come on, guys, get excited.